Right. So we did the kids conference for those of you who weren't on earth the last 2 months. We did the kids conference. Okay. T-shirt out. And we worked very hard. And after the conference, we were very tired. And every evening, I will put my kids to bed. They go to bed at 8. We will go to the room 7:30, and then at 8, I will exit the room. And then I had absolutely no energy left. I walked straight to my bed. I put the covers over me. Maybe I had 10 minutes where I could read the Bible, and I slept. And that went on for about a week. I was so tired. I just had to catch up and sleep. And it just kept going, and I was just tired all the time. And then came the news that we're going to Stellenbosch, and everything ran through my mind. We had to say goodbye, all the people, all the faces, everything. And I actually just hit a depro. Rick would come home in the evenings, and I would just sit in my bed like this. Don't know what to do. Don't know what to think. I'm kind of tired, but my mind is busy. Everything's racing. What is coming? What we are leaving behind? And I didn't feel like reading the Bible as well. If you're in a depro, you don't like to read the Bible. It's not like, yeah, I'm going to read the Bible. Okay. So the one evening I said to myself, Alida, rik yourself reg. Take the Bible and read it. Because God wants to speak to you in this time. He's not going to leave you all there by yourself on your bed saying, poor you, woo-hoo, cry, or whatever. So I'm the pastor's wife. I know I should pick up the Bible. All right. You don't have to be the pastor's wife to know you have to pick up the Bible. So I picked up the Bible, and I said, okay, but what should I read? I don't know. Okay. So we were in a meeting the other day, and I heard Fred just speaking about Haggai. That's just one word stuck to my mind, and I was still thinking, where in the Bible is that? So I decided, okay, I'm going to open the Bible and see where's Haggai. I'm going to read that. And it was just amazing, because the word tonight comes from Haggai. But I opened the Bible, and while I started to read, I just couldn't stop. I so enjoyed the word. I was like, yes, this is amazing. And it's so applicable to our lives today. So if you have a Bible here tonight, please open it at Haggai. Look for it. If you don't know where it is, it's close to the end of the Old Testament. We're going to read the whole book of Haggai. And it was just so powerful once again that the word is alive. And the word, just that evening, everything just turned around. I stopped feeling sorry for myself. And I just realized, come girl, this is all right. You will survive. It's not that bad. Here we go. Yeah. So that just really encouraged me a lot. Okay, I'm just going to pray for us before we start. Father, thank you that your spirit is here, Lord. Thank you that your heart is so excited to meet with us tonight. Thank you, Father, that we have the word and that it is true. Everything in this book is true. And it's from you, Lord. And you are talking to us through this. And we're excited, Father, just to eat from your word tonight. Let it be bread for us, God. Let it feed us tonight. In Jesus' name, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, and I know that you are ministering to your people already, and we just want to honor you tonight and say that it's about you, and Father, it's about your kingdom, Lord, and where you are going, and we just want to submit under you and submit under your word tonight and your voice. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, so I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. If you don't have that version, you are welcome to follow still in your Bible. It will be on the board as well. I can't remember. What's the title of my sermon? Oh, When We Are Shaken. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about it. It's not on my notes here. Okay, When We Are Shaken. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so quickly, I like to tell stories. This is actually just a story. I'm going to tell the whole story to you, and we're going to see what we learn from Haggai. And I just want to make you excited. I trust the Lord that you will really be excited again to read your word. If you are in a place where I was, not really feeling like reading the Bible, I trust that tonight will spark it again, that this is the truth and this is the life. And God is speaking to us. You can never say the Lord does not speak to you, because here is a whole book where he speaks to you. You must just pick it up and just read it. All right. So Haggai was one of the three minor prophets. They're like huge prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and they have all thick books in the Bible where they wrote down everything the Lord said to them. And then there were three little ones, and Haggai was one of them. After these three little ones spoke to the people of God, there was silence for 400 years. No word from the Lord. Can you imagine what that must be like? 400 years, that's four or five generations where no one hear God's voice. And that was only broken when God spoke to John the Baptist about Jesus coming. Can you imagine if you have to raise your kids? God spoke to us all these years. You tell them the history. We were in Egypt. Then we came through the desert. Then everything happening, Gideon and whatever, Ali Mana. You tell them the history. But God is not speaking to us at the moment, but we know that He will speak to us again. And that's it. Going through life, never hearing God's voice. All right, that's actually quite rough. And remember, Jesus came so that we can hear God's voice for ourselves. All right, so in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. So when I go into my inner room today, I can ask God something and He can answer me. I can pick up His voice. But that was not like it in the olden days. God will speak to the prophet and the prophet will speak to the people. And that's the way they heard God's voice. Okay, so that's just one amazing thing that Jesus came to do. You and I can actually hear His voice. Okay, they couldn't do that, or it didn't work like that in the Old Testament. That is amazing. That is actually a revelation that we can just say amen on and go home. Okay, but anyway. So Haggai only spoke to the people for 3 months. It was short. That's why it's only 2 chapters. Not a lot, but amazing. Okay, so we're going to work through that. Now, the Israelites were all in exile in Babylon. They forsook the Lord. They all took them into exile to Babylon. That's where they stayed. Not in the promised land that God promised them. Jerusalem was burned down. Nothing was happening in Jerusalem. Okay, they were all in Babylon. And then the King Cyrus, he was the Persian king, he said to them, please go back to your land and build a temple for your God, and then you pray on my behalf to your God. Imagine that. I don't want to pray for myself. Oh, I don't want to talk to God, but I know that He's something. So you go back to your country, go build a temple. He gives them money every month to build that temple. You must pray to your God for me. That's the thing. Now, for 70 years, they were in exile. So many of the people, they've never been to Jerusalem. They've never seen the promised land. So it's like foreign to them. It's like asking you to go to Uzbekistan. Okay? Oh, is that the promised land? I've never been there. It's weird. Okay, you must understand now. Okay, so some of them said no. Because Babylon was a city where lots of trading took place. So people had businesses, they made money. They were actually quite wealthy, okay? And they didn't want to leave that. But 50,000 of the Israelites, they decided they want to go back. They know that God promised them a promised land, and they still want that. So they said, okay, they will go. 50,000 van hulle. So 50,000 decided, right, they're going back to Jerusalem. They left their families, they left their friends, they left their wealth, their prosperity, they left it all behind. Okay, just to go back on God's promise that He left them a promised land. There's still a promised land that He left for them, all right. So can you just imagine, if you live on a farm, I come from a farm, most of you have been on a farm, if nothing were to happen for 70 years straight, what that farm would look like? Is he moiny? There's boss, all right? So there's no crops. The ground is not tilled. There's no boomlanings. Sorry, I don't know what the English is. There's nothing, all right? But they need to go make a living out of that. But there's nothing. Jerusalem is in ruins. There's not a lovely city of gold and New York waiting for them, buildings, whatever. There's nothing, okay? So they have to go back to that. So they were led by this guy. His name is Zerubbabel. Can you repeat after me? Zerubbabel. Okay. All right, he was a prince. And then Joshua. Joshua was the high priest at that stage. Remember, God spoke through high priests and prophets, all right? But he was like the high priest at that stage. Now, Zerubbabel was one of the people who weren't, he was born in Babylon, so he's never seen Jerusalem. All right. So why did they pick him to lead? He was the only one left in the royal line. He was the only surviving member of the royal bloodline of David. And he knew that the prophecy said the one to lead Israel will always be someone that's from the lineage of David. And he was the only one remaining. He was the grandson of the last legitimate king, Jehoiakim. You want to repeat that? Jehoiakim. Okay, that was his great-grandfather, or his grandson. Yeah, he was the grandson of Jehoiakim. So he was the only one in that line. So he had to take them, he knew that, all right? And then he took Haggai with him, and he took, what's the other guy's name? Joshua. All right? So they were the leaders leading these people back to Jerusalem. All right? So their first priority was, when they got to Jerusalem, was to build an altar to say thank you. All right? So they put a few stones on top of one another, and they would say thank you. A very profound sermon was the one that Yankor preached a while ago. You would remember Yankor. He struggles also to speak English, but hey, he was here in the morning service, so he spoke Afrikaans. He talked about things in our house to say thank you, things that people will, who were in that service? Very few of you. Okay. Our sermons that we download onto the internet are way behind schedule. As soon as it is up, I will Facebook you guys. Then you must go listen to that. That's really awesome. Okay, we know that that's far behind because that was really amazing. But anyway, you also talked there about saying thank you, whatever. So they made a little altar just saying thank you to the Lord with the idea that the temple will be built around it. Okay, so once they get into the temple, we'll come around it. All right, so that is like the first step. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us back here. Thank you that you promised us the promised land. Just to remember the Lord and to say thank you that they're all there and whatever. And then later on, they will start with the temple, okay. But this was not an easy task because there were only a few of them. You are welcome to go make a study of what these temples looked like. They were beautiful, and it took a lot of hard work to make them. And they had very little resources. All right, now to make matters worse, this Cyrus king, he was followed up by King Darius. And Darius said, no, we're not going to give money to them to build a temple every month. No, we cut that. All right, nothing for you, nada. All right, so now they only have what they brought with them. Remember, there's not orchards of nachis and fields of wheat and everything. There's nothing. Okay, so they're all stuck there to do everything by themselves. So after 2 years, they stopped building. They just couldn't do it anymore. And then for 14 years, they didn't build at all. They just left it there. Can you just imagine how their hopes must have been shattered? They had all these dreams and hopes of what they're going to do for God. And then it all fell apart. Nothing quite happened like they envisioned it when they left Babylon knowing they're doing this for the Lord. Okay, so Haggai came into this sort of a mess and this depressed situation, and he spoke to them God's word in this situation. Okay, I just want to check. I need to read. Okay, we're going to read to you just now. So the first thing that they thought was, okay, but maybe they got the timing wrong because this is not lacquer. So maybe they got the timing wrong for building the temple because they cannot afford it now. They don't have the money and they don't have the energy to build the temple. So they heard, maybe they heard right, but now it's not happening, so the timing is wrong. That's what they said. But Haggai said to them, no, your crops failed and the economy went crashing the moment you stopped building the temple. All right? So just think about that. As soon as you stop putting God and his house first, that's when things went down the drain. Okay. So he challenged them and he said to them, compare your own home with God's house. And that will tell you where your priorities are. Okay, let's just quickly read that. Okay, chapter 1, follow with me. Do not shut down. I repeat, do not shut down when we read the word of God. All right, stay with me. Verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, that's another like a name for you, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Die mense sê, dis nie nou tyd dat die Here se huis gebou moet word nie, dis wat dit sê. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? They had paneled houses. They got wood that was quite expensive. I think it's cedar wood that they imported from somewhere to build their houses in. It was the houses were lined with cedar wood. So that was quite expensive stuff. Okay, so the Lord said, you are living in paneled houses. Now therefore, verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Exclamation mark. So that was, consider your ways. Not consider your ways. Right? You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you run to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruit. It doesn't rain, and there's no crop, okay? For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. So that is quite a very clear message. All right? I will not send you rain, and I will not give you crop. Okay? Because you choose to build your own houses and leave the temple desolate. Okay? Temple is, the foundations are gegrawe, and like the lower walls are up, but that's it. Okay, so that is what the Lord is saying. That's not difficult. You can actually understand that. It was so cool. At Wednesday, we had the perspective seminar, and one of the youth came to me, and she said to me, I don't understand my Bible. It's so boring to me. But then she got spiritual. I said to her, girl, now you ask, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus, and you need to hold onto your bed. All right, because the Bible is not boring. It's going to jump up at you now. Okay, and you must ask the Lord, show me Jesus. Okay, that I'm getting so excited. Okay, because the word is life. Okay, but you are with me. Okay, great. We're going to go on. Okay, so what is so beautiful about this people? They listened. And immediately, they repented and they sorted everything out. It took them 3 weeks to start building again. Okay, so they were busy doing their own crops, their own households, building their own houses. I don't know. They had to manage all of that, organize it so that they can say, right, we're ready. We're going to build the temple. 3 weeks, eh? That's fast. Okay. Let's read further. Okay, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Whew, that's beautiful. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord, the host, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So they repented. They said they're sorry. And the fear of the Lord came upon them. And the Lord stirred up their spirit of the leader, of the priest, and of the people. All right. To encourage them, to remind them, to give them that strength, that endurance, the wisdom, like Sue said tonight. How do we go forward with this? That's all we get in the spirit, okay? I do not know how you raise kids, how you run a business, how you live without the Holy Spirit, because you will walk into a wall every single day. I honestly don't know. Okay. But that's a sermon for another day. Yeah, if you have kids, I will tell you, the Lord really leads me just how to raise my kids because I'm so clueless. And I don't know how to do it without the Holy Spirit. Okay, so they're all ready, right? They're all going there again. Now, so they start building the temple. Then the older people who saw Solomon's temple, okay, that was a glorious thing. They came and they saw what they were busy building. It was a little temple. It was not that big. And they were saying, what are we doing? This is nothing in comparison to Solomon's temple. We are just like wasting our time. It's not glorious enough. It's not big enough. It's not as beautiful as the temple of Solomon. And then the people became discouraged. So why are we doing this? Okay? That happens to us a lot in today's world as well. People discourage you. Achille, you can leave it open because it's very hot in here. Sorry. Just let me find my place again. Now I'm in Zechariah. Zechariah follows Haggai, if you don't know. Okay, let me just check here. There we go. If someone can... Wait. I have something heavy here. There we go. Okay. Okay, so they weren't feeling lekker. They repented. The Lord stirred up their spirit. They were ready to build the temple again because that's what God said they should go do there. So they're ready for it. And now these people discourage them. It's their own people. All right, saying, no, this is not good enough. No, this is not going to work. Okay, let's read from chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying again. So see, God spoke again. He speaks to them again. He says, oh, no, they're discouraged. Okay, so he speaks through Haggai again. Right, here comes the word. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua. You can, it's like they... Dis baie punte nederig oor almal. Dis mense en se voorgeslagte. The son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Once again, speak to everybody. The leaders, all right? The spiritual leaders, and speak to all my people. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? That's what the old people told him. This is not good. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, so if I were one of those old people, I would fall on my face and repent. Okay, because the Lord tells three times these different groups of people, be strong, be strong, be strong. And then he says, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord. Isn't that a nice encouragement when you were just discouraged, all right? Okay, just let me check. Did I read it right? 1-9. No, I'm not finished yet. Here we go. All right. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. All right, that's a teaching for another night, but can you see the presence of the Holy Spirit there? My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple that you're building, that the old people said was not good enough, I will fill it with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So beautiful. Haggai said to them, don't worry, we can start small. God is not worried about the size. What is God's heart here? God is saying to them, just build me a house. I just want to be with my people. Remember? That's where he met with his people, in the temple. His presence was in the temple. And God's heart was just to be among his people. Doesn't matter the size, just build the thing. Be strong and work. Finish this. I'm so eager. I'm so hungry to be among my people. God's heart did not change. It is the same still today. His desire for us is to be with us so that we can know him. Okay, here I have to stop. I have to come back to the sermon downloads. Lucille had a sermon on, the sermon's name was, I think, Romancing. Yeah, it was a while ago. Let's say about a month or two ago. It is on the website. You click Stellenbosch Congregation, downloads. You go to www.shofaronline.org. You click Stellenbosch, downloads. You check for Lucille's Romancing. You click there and you download the sermon. You listen to it. Okay, if you want to have one of Paul's, you go to www.shofaronline.org. You click change congregation. If it's not on Paul, you go to Paul, sermon downloads. You go listen to the sermons that you missed. Okay. Very few of you listen to them. I don't know what I would do without them. We put them on the iPod. Then we go jog. We listen to them. Okay, when I don't have a good day, I put all freaking 7 alarm. Just tell me, is Neville Mankey's now really dead? Do you know that? Is it not dead, Fawn? I don't know. Okay, but I don't know. You put off 7 alarm and you listen to it. Because it's your leader speaking. It is the word of God and it changes you. All right. And if you are in a depro like I am and your Bible is lost, then listen to it. We have laptops, we have iPads, all of these things today. So I just want to tell you, don't feel like you're all alone. Krik, krik, nothing to do. There's lots to do. Okay, but that is a really a profound sermon. It shows us how God wants us to know Him, to really know Him. And Rick said it this morning as well. He said, guys, there's a tip for you. A woman wants to be known. Okay, because we are also made in God's image. That's why it's very good to ask us, how are you? How do you feel? What do you think? And we will tell you, because we have a desire for you to know us. I will ask Rick, how was the meeting? Good. Okay, so what did they say? No, not really. No. I'm like, no, but what did they say? It doesn't share. It doesn't have a need for me to know everything. Okay, I need to know everything. I want to tell people everything. That's just the difference, but that's all on the side. Okay, but that's just so beautiful, eh? God's heart is just to finish this temple. I want to be with my people. God wants to be with you. All right, that is His heart for us. So He gave them a command and a promise. He commands them. He says, be strong. Zerubbabel, be strong. Joshua, you're the high priest. Be strong. All the people, be strong. He tells them that three times. He says, don't fear. I preached on courage the other night. It's not on the website yet. We will upload it. If you have a lack of courage, you go listen to that. Don't fear. All right, have courage. And then He promises them, I'm with you. My spirit remains with you. So beautiful. I spoke to a girl this week. She's going through a tough time. She said to me, you know, Alida, what's so beautiful about the Word of God is whenever Israel or whoever they're going through a difficult time, sometimes the Lord is telling them, you are going to go through a difficult time. And He leaves them with a promise every single time. But I'm with you. You are my people. I love you. More is coming, etc. God never leaves us all by ourselves, all right? He gives us a promise. He's so faithful to us every single time. And exactly with them, I'm with you. My spirit remains with you. Okay. Just want to check if I'm a miracle here on my Bible. Yeah. Okay. Good. Now, the next crisis came. So they're all busy. They got it now. God encouraged them. They are building it. All right. So the months tick by. Tick, 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 tick. And the rain don't come. The rains are supposed to start in October already. In December, still no rain. And they're wondering what's happening. Why is God not sending the rain? So beautiful. Once again, Haggai goes and asks God, why does it not rain? Not, what is wrong? The rain's not coming. We're going to go back to work, Lord. You did not this, you did not that. He asks the Lord, God, why doesn't it rain? And check what God tells him. It's so beautiful, right? We always jump on our horses and we want to accuse the Lord of this and this and that and whatever. And God has an answer. Okay, and He has an answer for you as well. Maybe this is a word for someone tonight. Okay, you need to ask Him, why is He not coming through for you? Why is He not doing, there's something wrong, okay? Just ask God straight. What is wrong? Why is He not there? Very beautiful. Let me see, can I read for you now? Yeah. Okay, verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now, ask the priests concerning the law, saying, don't lose me here, it sounds boring, but I will explain it to you. If one carries holy meat in the fold of his garments, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. If I have holy bread, and I touch something unclean, will all of that become holy? No. Okay, that's how God's taught them. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answers it and said, it shall be unclean. All right, now for all of this to understand, you have to know the Old Testament. So they actually just said, a dead body is unclean. So that is soos vrot. As vrot vat aan enigiets anders, dit raak ook vrot. Okay, so that's what they're actually just saying here to one another. It's the same with fruit and food and all of that. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people. And so is the nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer, there is unclean. So what God is saying to them is, they are busy building my temple. They're busy with something holy. But they themselves are unclean. They have sin in their lives. And I cannot be part of the temple because they undefile my temple. That's actually rough. So for us today, you can be busy with the things of God, but if your heart is not right, if you have sin in your life that you do not repent about, okay, God cannot be there. You are undefiling his temple, is he saying to them. Yeah. Rick said it this morning. It was so beautiful. He said, if he would have to look at porn behind a closed door at home, that will have an effect on all of us here because we are one family. And that's exactly the same what happens here. Some of the people, they had sin in their lives. They didn't say exactly what sin, but there was some sin in their lives. So God said, I still cannot bless these people. They are undefiling my temple. I cannot be there. So once again, these people, I must take my hat off to them because once again, they just said, okay, Lord, we are sorry then. And then and God sent the rain. I want to read it to you, verse 20. Am I running ahead of myself? Yes. Verse 15. And now, carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days, when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. So God is saying all of those things, those terrible things are happening, but still they are not turning to the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranates, and the olive tree has not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. So beautiful. God says the exact date. He says, check it out. From this day I will bless you because you repented of your sin and now we can move forward. And he sent it the rain. All right. Just so beautiful. All right. Great. Oh, we're almost finished with that guy. Then you've read a whole book in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Okay, great. So what God tells Zerubbabel, so they go on with the building the temple, and God promises Zerubbabel that he would make him like a signet ring. What is a signet ring in Afrikaans? A seal ring, fancy ring. But in those days, that represented authority. He said he will make Zerubbabel like a signet ring. So he will give him that authority. Zerubbabel did not know it at that stage, but Jesus' voorgeslagte. What's that in English? Oh, where is Subash now? His forefathers. Both the lines connected to Zerubbabel. Okay, so Jesus came out of the lineage of Zerubbabel. Okay, but God said he will make him like that much authority, like a signet ring. Okay, so Jesus' ultimate authority. Because Jesus is God's son. And Jesus lives inside you and me. And we have the same authority that Jesus had. So beautiful. Jesus was not even there when it was time for when Zerubbabel was on the earth. All right? But you and I have that same authority that Jesus had. In the Bible they say Selah. Then you have to pause and think. But this is a Selah moment. In you and me, we have that in Jesus Christ. Okay? It was just so beautiful because they really went through a tough time, up and down, na, na, na. But God said, I will give you a lot of authority. You will have a lot of authority, just like that signet ring. Let's just read the last bit of Haggai. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai. That's now verse 20. Once again, exact day, on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and the riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you. Tonight, you are chosen. If I can look you in the eye and say to every one of you, you are chosen through Jesus Christ. If God had to look you in the eye tonight and say to you, you are chosen, what would that mean to you? That is life-changing. And I'm the lucky person to tell you that tonight, that you are chosen. Jesus made it possible for all of us to have the authority that he had. And we are chosen. So beautiful. Okay, so what do we learn from this book? That God is not concerned about what we do for him. Okay? He is concerned by whether we're clean to do it. What is the condition of our hearts? That is what he is worried about. And that is what we need to think about and bring before the Lord tonight. We know this, but just check again. I had to check my own heart. What am I busy with doing for God? And what is the condition of my heart? Life is not about staying alive or making a living or building your house. Okay? It's about living right and living with God. Full stop. That's it. And we need to remind one another of that, because the world and the pressure of materialism and your friend that got married and what they have and where they're going and all of those things minister to us. But I'm here to tell you tonight that life is not about that. Life is about living right and living with our God, because he has chosen you and you have the authority in Jesus. Now, when we look at the season that we are going into as Shofar Paul, I don't know, it's hard for us going, but I imagine that it is harder maybe for you staying behind. You don't know the pastor coming in. Gilly, you need to leave your key under the door, under the mat before your door. Okay. But we need to ask God to give us life-changing understanding of where we're going into. Only he can do it. All right? Shunia Lira, dis nou heeltemal te diep. Julle gaan ons maar net weg en iemand anders kom. No. There's something spiritual happening in our congregation. You need to ask God to show you what it is. It is life-changing for us. It's life-changing for us. As a family, the Bormans, it's life-changing for you. What is happening, God? What is the season that I'm in? What is happening? These people had to ask that understanding of what is going on. And then we need to allow God to show that us, and then to dynamically change the way that we relate to God and to one another. You know that Rick and I are really putting out our faith that in this time of just being shaken, that you as brothers and sisters will take hands. Because ultimately, you are not following Rick and Alida. Yes, God gave us as leaders to you, but you are following Jesus, and this is his church. Okay? So maybe you are telling me this is a bit weird for you. You're not feeling so lekker about all of this change. Tell your sister that you're not feeling lekker, and tell her that she must pray for you. This Movember thing is so important to us, not because you grow a mustache. That's not cool for me, but it is so important that you must get to know your brother. And you must get to know your sister. But we had awakened, and God awakened us, and we kind of had like a momentum going. But guys, this is your month, and you should not miss a Wednesday. Because you guys are staying behind, and you need to take hands. Those of you who have not yet done it, walk in accountability, the sermon of this morning. Stick together. Say, Jesus, this is your church. We are doing this for you. And if you've done it for Rick and Alida all these years, your heart will not be lekker at this moment. And you will be very disappointed, maybe even angry. And you need to sort that out with God. Say, Lord, this is hard for me. I love those people. I hope some of you pray that. I love these people. But Lord, it's your house and it's your church and this is my town and I'm staying here and I want to go with what you want to do. And also just how you relate with your Lord. What is your heart? I mean, God just wants to be with you. I asked myself, Alida, do you want to be with God? And what's your answer? Do you really want to be with the Lord? He can't wait to be with you. It's just so beautiful. Okay, then we need to step out in that authority that Jesus gave us. Now, I don't know what happened for the rest with Zerubbabel. I'm not a theologian. Okay, but they were in the middle of nowhere. They had to build the temple. There's nothing really going on around them. They lost most of their money. That's kind of difficult, all right? But God sent him I will give you the authority like a signet ring. We have that authority. We have it. And he said to Zerubbabel, you must use it. Step out in that. I will give these people for you, your enemies and whatever. And that's what I tell you tonight. I tell it to myself. Step out in your authority that you have in Jesus Christ. Because that's your authority. That's where your identity should be, in Jesus, all right? And then remember, he has chosen you. God has chosen you. He has a specific plan for you. I said it the other day as well. I don't know if I said it from the pulpit or to someone. I cannot remember. But I'm starting to see that God is really... hy doen meer as my wildste drome. Every now and again, I have to pinch myself and say, girl, look what is going on in your life. I honestly cannot believe it. Like, Lord, I don't know. But God said, I've chosen you. Go. He said to them, work. Don't be afraid. Work. I'm with you. I've chosen you. You have authority in Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. And church, tonight we need to take hands and say, this is where we're going. Lord, it's your church. We want to do it. We don't want to build our own houses and our own kingdoms and everything else. Reed said it this morning, there's nothing wrong with being rich and have a great house. That's awesome. But if that is a stumbling thing in your heart, and if that is priority in your heart is wrong and you need to repent before God. Because his house and where we are going, get this morning's sermon. It was awesome. Okay, Rick even cried. You can get it all on the sermon, but we will wait for the Facebook. If you do not like Shofar Paul on Facebook yet, you need to do it because there you get all the stuff that you need to know. All right. Can you stand with me tonight, please? If Marisa can come up for me. I think Marisa's on the keyboard. Or whoever's playing the keyboard for me. Thank you, Marisa.